بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the points of benefit regarding the udhiyah, the sacrifice an animal, and we need to follow now on some other benefits related to the udhiyah. And then we'll talk about the description of salah. The second class will be the description of salah. From the things we need to know further about the udhiyah is that it is better for the person who needs to sacrifice to handle the udhiyah himself. Meaning him himself proceeds with the slaughtering, because this is something beloved to Allah. This is what is intended. Now, if he begins the slaughter and finishes the slaughtering and cutting the jugular veins, and then he gives it to another person to skin it off and take care of it and to distribute it, then there is no problem in that. However, the person who wants to proceed with the slaughtering, he should be knowledgeable about it and able to do that. And should not take any risk. If he is not, he can designate someone. If he is not able or ignorant, he can designate someone. Someone who is Muslim, and then he witnesses the slaughter. So from here we know that it is permissible to designate a Muslim to slaughter, and however, it is not correct to designate a Kitabi, a Jew or a Christian. Although we know that the slaughtering of the Kitabi is halal. However, since this udhiyah is intended as a means of nearness to Allah, and therefore it is a worship, as such then, it is not correct to designate a Kitabi. Because the Kitabi has no worship and no intent of getting near to Allah through such a worship. He is a disbeliever. His worship is not acceptable. However, on the other hand, this should not be confused with the situation where a person may designate a Kitabi to slaughter for him an animal for the sake of its meat. Then there is no problem with that. However, the udhiyah and the hadi, the sacrifice and animals, are not valid except from a Muslim. Now, as to the timing of the slaughter, we spoke about this earlier. The permissible time is the day of the Eid, on the 10th of the Hijjah, after Salat al-Eid. However, it's preferable that it takes place after the khutbah, after the sermon, and the timing extends till the sunset on the 13th, in accordance with the correct opinion. Now, is it permissible to slaughter at night during this time? Some of the scholars dislike that. Based upon a narration from Ibn Abbas. However, the correct opinion that it is not disliked. Because in origin, this is permitted. There is no authentic cause for prohibition. As to the narration of Ibn Abbas, it is weak. Also, another case. If someone misses the time for slaughter, due to a legal cause or forgetfulness or loss of his cattle, then he makes up this slaughtering. If a person specifies his sacrifice an animal, then there are rulings related to that. First ruling is that it is not permissible to transfer the ownership of it through selling or by putting it as a security deposit for anything, a pawn. These things are not allowed. If on the other hand he intends to change this animal with another which is better than it for the benefit of the udhiyah, not for a worldly desire or a certain desire he may have, then it is permissible. Thirdly, if he dies after specifying the animal for his hadi or for his udhiyah, or to fulfill a vow he had made, then it becomes incumbent upon his heirs to execute. If on the other hand he dies before assigning the sacrifice an animal, intending it, then it becomes a possession for his heirs. Fourth matter related to this issue, it is not allowed for him to utilize it for agriculture purposes, for mounting, riding, unless there is a need. Fifthly, it is permissible for him to take from its wool for the benefit of the animal, and he may give it as a charity or himself benefit from it. Now, if it is stolen or lost, then if it is due, if this took place because of his negligence, then he should put forward an equivalent or a better one. If on the other hand this took place not because of his action or due to negligence, then there is no responsibility for him, upon him, unless the sacrifice an animal is a duty upon him before specification. Because if it's a duty upon him before specification, then it must be a safe and be found and be available. Like for example, if it was a vow, then still himself is held to fulfill the vow or to offer the hadi after finishing the hajj. The same holds it true if a defect touches the animal whereby it renders it not fit as a sacrifice. Then we look. If this defect occurred due to his action, then he must slaughter an equivalent or something better even. Otherwise, if it is not due to his action, there is nothing upon him, unless it is a due upon him, an obligation upon him before specification, like if it is a vow or the offering he needs to offer after finishing the Hajj of Tamattu, for example. Because he is held responsible for a sound one, free from defect in that case. Another ruling. It is not permissible to give the one who slaughters the animal on his behalf or the butcher to give them from its meat as a his pay. He cannot pay him for his work from its meat, for his labor. Now, can he give him from it as a gift or sadaqah or a charity? The answer is, if he is poor, he can give him from it as a sadaqah. And if he is rich, he can give him from it as a gift. Another rule, it is not permissible to sell its skin or anything from it, like its head, its stomach, its liver, or the like. Case: if someone slaughters during the days of Adha, slaughters for the banquet of the wedding, slaughters during the days for the banquet of a wedding, but during the days of the Eid, then this is not an udhiyah. It's a must in the udhiyah that the person makes the slaughter for the sake of Allah as a means of nearness to Allah. Case: which is better, to slaughter or to give its equivalent in money as a charity? Which is better? For example, someone says, I have $500. Is it better for me to give it as a charity or I buy it, buy the sacrificial animal and slaughter instead. The answer is al-afdal an tudahhi. It's better to slaughter. Now he says, I can buy for the $500, I can buy 10 times its meat and give it to the poor as in charity. The answer is, you should remember that the ultimate goal in the Udhiyah is seeking a means of nearness to Allah by the slaughtering. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hajj in 22:37, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah, but it's piety from you that reaches Him. Now if someone says, if amongst Muslims there is a severe hardship and that charity with money could be beneficial to meet their needs under this situation, so which takes preference? The answer is that in this case, warding off the harm from the Muslims takes precedence, because this will be saving of lives. And the sunnah and the udhiyah is a revival of the sunnah. And then saving the lives in this case takes precedence. Is that clear? It is also recommended that the person eats from the udhiyah. And gives in charity and also gives as a gift. What's the difference between the gift and the charity? Al-hadiyya, gift al-hadiyya. What's the difference? Al-hadiyya, the gift, what's intended in it is closeness, friendship. However, this is related to a gift. But what is intended as a means of nearness to Allah is a sadaqah, is a charity. And therefore, the sadaqah will be for the person who needs, and the gift will be for someone who doesn't. Some of the scholars said that one third should be eaten, one third should be given as a hadiyya, gift, and one third should be given as a sadaqah. And it is narrated that this is from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. والصحيح, and the correct opinion is that this is not in accordance with a definite particularization for this proportion by way of Sharia. The Sunnah, however, is to benefit the Muslims from it and to benefit the person himself by eating from it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hajj 22:28, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ. Then eat thereof and feed therewith the poor who have a very hard time. Also in the same surah 2:36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرِ. And feed the beggar who does not ask and the beggar who asks. So with respect to the Udhiyah, it's recommended to eat from it. Whether it is an Udhiyah obligated by a vow or not obligated. As to the hadi, which is to be given to the needy of the haram, then there are details. First, what's obligated, the hadi obligated, is due to a violation of the hajj, due to a violation in hajj, or abandoning a wajib, an obligation, then it is not permissible to eat from it. Because in this case, it is an expiation. It takes the form of an expiation. I will repeat, yes. The hadi, which is due to a violation of the prohibited matters in Hajj, or due to abandoning a wajib, an obligation in Hajj, then it is not permissible to eat from it. Totally, it's going to be offered to the poor of the haram, area in Mecca, to the needy. Totally. He cannot eat from it. This is the hadi which is due to a violation of the prohibited matters of the hajj. You know, because we studied the violations, right? You remember we studied the violations of the prohibited matters? Or due to abandoning a wajib also. Tark wajib. Then it is not permissible to eat from it. Because this is offered to the poor. And this is like, it is done as a form of expiation. Kafara. This is known as damu jubran or fidya. Second thing, what's obligated as a thanks to Allah, a gratitude, like the hadi of tamattu and qiran, the hadi, the animal, to be offered after completing the hajj, then in this case it is permissible to eat from, as came in the sunnah. Is that clear? The second case? The second. Because the hadi is more than one. Yes. What's obligated as a thanks to Allah, like the hadi of tamattu' and qiran, which is offered after the completion of hajj, then he should eat from it. And give sadaqah also. As to the tatawwa', the optional hadi, then there is no problem at all to eat from and to give as charity. Case. What about if the offering is for an orphan? Orphan. Then it is permissible that the orphan eats from it and also gives in charity and as a gift. Now the question is it permissible to sacrifice from the using the wealth of the yatim, of the orphan? The answer is, if the tradition is such that if the orphan does not make the sacrifice, then their heart will be broken. Their hearts will be broken if the orphans don't offer the sacrifice. Their hearts will be broken. Then in this case it is permissible to take from his money and make the sacrifice. Just like we buy for him a new clothes for Eid, knowing that he has clothes sufficient. But for the time of Eid, we may take from his money and buy him a new clothes. So if it is known, because this is a matter of spending in goodness, and if it is known in the tradition of the people where this orphan lives to offer the sacrifice, then it's to be offered even from his own money. Ruling: it is haram, forbidden, for the person making the sacrifice to take from his hair or take from his skin or take from his nails from the time, from the beginning of the Hijjah, from the beginning of the Hijjah, from the first day of the 12th month until he completes the sacrifice, until he completes the sacrifice. And we studied in a previous discussion the hikmah, the wisdom behind not taking from these things, not taking anything from these things. Then what about if someone sacrifices on behalf of someone else? So on those on whom the sacrifice, on whose behalf is the sacrifice is made. Like for example, the Prophet ﷺ used to make sacrifice on behalf of his family, his household. And we don't have any report to indicate that he told them not to take from their hair or their nails and from their skin. Had this been haram upon them, he would have made that clear to them. But suppose a person did that and took some of his hair, for example, then there is no expiation on him. There is no expiation on him. So his udhiyah is accepted, however he is disobedient. And the saying by some common Muslims that if anyone takes from his hair or his nails anything during these 10 days, then there is no acceptable udhiyah for him, this is incorrect. Because there is no relation between the validity of the udhiyah and taking anything of these three prohibited things. And suppose a person did not make intention to offer the udhiyah except during the 10 days. For example, on the 5th he made the intention to offer an udhiyah, and he already took some of his hair or fingernails, then it is correct. And the period of prohibition begins from the time he intends to offer the udhiyah. The beginning of prohibition for him to take from any of these three things begins from the time when he intended the udhiyah. And if you give the udhiyah for someone to slaughter it for you, the ruling applies to you. The designate, there is nothing upon him in terms of taking from these things, from the hair or the nails or the skin. Because in this case, the designate is like a butcher. Suppose the person got a long nail and it broke. There's nothing upon him. Or if a piece of it harms him, it is permissible to take it out, and there is nothing upon him. Similarly, if a hair falls into his eye or grows under his eyebrow inside and hurts his eye, then taking that out also toward the harm is okay, and there is nothing upon him. If a person intends to make circumcision for himself, he accepts Islam, enters into the Islam in these 10 days, then he should not make the circumcision during these days, because he's going to take from his skin. Some people also become mindless about taking from the skin of their heels. You see them sitting and picking some skin from the heels. They also should watch for that. This brings the end of today's class, and inshallah this concludes the Udhiyah. This concludes the class on the Udhiyah. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.